Taylor and Bobby Keys in the full flow on the Rolling Stones' Can't You Hear Me Knocking from the Sticky Fingers album, and you too on the theme Stay, Far Away, Close. The most inventive suggestion so far for Feel Good Friday and lockdown comes from Alex, David Bowie, Attestation to Attestation. That's pretty good. Julie's a close second with Simon Garfunkel, Song for the Masking. All right, keep them coming, Studio Riviera Radio MC. Keeping an eye on those US presidential swing states, and everyone's going on about Pennsylvania, but it's Georgia that's starting to look really interesting. People on the ground say the gap between Trump and Biden in Georgia is now down to 23,000 votes, and the votes coming in from Fulton County, which is a heavily Democrat-leaning area. So could that be the one to swing it?
We'll have to wait and see.
Wait and see.
Not going to speculate.
No, it's certainly very interesting. That's worth 16 electoral college votes. So if you take the conservative estimates of 243 for Biden so far, that would take him up to 259. But some estimates are higher, some are lower. It depends which ones they have included, if they're counting them as being announced by the networks or not. Still a lot of interest in Nevada, Arizona too, where the race we heard was tightening. Michigan's gone really to Biden, so it's Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the other big one, and North Carolina yet to declare as well. And at the moment there, Trump is leading 50.1% of the vote and 48.7% of the votes to Biden, with 95% of votes counted. So still around 300,000 votes left to count. A postcard of all things.
Very
a postcard
nice.
From Dick.
Yes.
Hello, Dick. Here's a nice postcard from you. It came in an envelope. It's the 14th of April, 1929, the first Monaco Grand Prix.
Wow.
There it is. Mm. Did you buy that in Monaco, Dick? Because it comes from Canyon Samer. Last week, a listener chose Donovan's version of Season of the Witch. I wasn't familiar with it, and I'm not familiar with the Lara Del Rey version either. But by far the best version is by Julie Driscoll, right? It is good, yeah? But I think Donovan's the original. But give a listen to the Vanilla Fudge version on the 1968 Renaissance album. I don't know that one, Dick. It's interesting, but at 8 minutes 40, probably too long to play on your programme. I have the vinyl album but can't play it. Well, we'll give it a listen, you know, 8 minutes 40. We have been known to play records of that length before. In fact, The Stones was over 7 minutes just a few minutes ago. Didn't have a pop quiz yesterday.
No, we didn't.
No.
Didn't get
a look in. Political quiz.
Today's quiz. Question number one. Which pop singer's hits include Raw and Teenage Dream? You have a choice. Is it A, Madonna, B, Britney Spears, or C, Katy Perry?
Got to be Madonna, isn't it?
No, it was...
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, I'm afraid. Yeah, Raw and Teenage Dream.
And me being such a big Katy Perry fan as well.
Question number two. Which single was the first of Madonna's to enter the Billboard Hot 100 chart? Was it A, Like a Virgin, a B, Borderline, or C, Holiday?
Borderline.
No, it was C, Holiday. And finally...
It's going to be a big fan zero, I can tell it.
Which rapper featured on the Rihanna hit Umbrella? Was it A, Drake, B, Kanye West, or C, Jay-Z?
I'm going to say Jay-Z.
Well done. Skin of your teeth.
Let's get one right, didn't I? Let's try and find it now.
Umbrella is the title.
Yeah.
I know.
Doesn't always come up like that, though. It's got a mind of its own, this system. Here you go.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Howdy.
Good morning.
How you doing, okay?
I'm okay, you're right?
Not too bad. You making a prediction yet?
Well, listen, the votes are still being counted, but there's no doubt Biden's path to the White House certainly looking more assured. Democrat candidate is gaining confidence. We know that. I think, is he six short now of the 270 required?
Is that what you're saying? I think that's an overestimation. I think that's with some of these swing states declared but not actually decided yet.
Okay, but what we do know is there's four states that are key to this election. There have been for some time. It's Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Pennsylvania is absolutely key within that. Biden looking very strong there. The votes coming in are likely to be Democratic. I think, has he got 20 electoral votes, Pennsylvania? I think if memory serves me correctly, that is the case. And then that would be enough to put him over the top, one would suspect. So if you look at his path to the White House, certainly looking an awful lot better than Donald Trump's, it has to be said. So I think at some point, probably in the next 48 hours or so, we could start to be thinking about the idea of a president-elect Biden.
Well, keep an eye on Georgia as well, because that's really tidying up. Trump's only 25,000 votes in the lead at the moment, and a lot of votes are coming in from Democratic-leaning counties, and that could swing it Biden's way.
Yeah, beyond the lawsuits, the recriminations, and the rest of it, do you see a path to President Trump now?
Well, Arizona's interesting. Things are tightening up there. He could possibly win that. He could possibly win Nevada as well. I mean, he could still
not
win.
Enough.
He could still win Pennsylvania, and he's still in the lead at the moment. North Carolina's yet to declare. He could hang on to Georgia. He's still got a path to victory, but it is looking more likely that Biden's going to win. But who knows how far and how long those legal challenges are going to go.
Very true, very true.
Is that all you got to say about it?
Well, you know, what more can you add to it beyond that than where we are today?
Interesting that the markets rallied strongly because the Senate looks like it's going to stay under Republican control, which means there's any widespread legislation on companies and big tech is probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's right. The Founding Fathers believed in checks and balances, and certainly investors appreciated that notion yesterday as they shook off some of that electoral confusion. Been buying stocks, pushed major indexes to their biggest rally in 7 months. Traders bet a narrow victory by either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, most likely Joe Biden. And a split legislature with the Republicans controlling the Senate means aggressive tax hikes will be tempered and a more focused stimulus package is likely to be agreed. Also, you could argue adds pressure on the Federal Reserve to pump liquidity into the economy to make up for the fiscal shortfall. We'll be hearing from the Fed later today. They'll like to keep policy rates on hold. Market reaction, I say, positive. Equities were up. The Nasdaq, particularly technology, doing very well, was up 3.8%. S&P was up 2.2%. Economically sensitive sectors, banks and industrials, underperforming a little bit. Fading prospects of an immediate multi-trillion dollar package prompt investors to bid up bonds as inflation risk, at least in the short term, diminishes. Yields were pushed lower by the most since June. 10-year yield fell below 0.8%. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, looking a lot calmer. Currently calling FTSE down 2 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 19 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 1 point.
Interestingly, oil spikes by 4% when Trump said last night he'd won.
Yeah, we have seen some movements in terms of oil prices. A number of factors affecting that. Of course, the economic outlook is important. Expectations of a prolonged period of lockdown would reduce demand and once again raise the prospect of supply gluts. Offsetting that has been, of course, OPEC Plus and signs that Russia may be looking to postpone a planned increase in output that's due for January. And of course, you've got President Trump. We know one of Joe Biden's key policies is this transition towards clean energy that would be bad news for fossil fuel.
Okay, and decision day at the Bank of England coming on the back of Michel Barnier saying that the two sides are still far apart on the Brexit deal. And The pound took a bit of a tumble on the news of that as well.
It did. A resurgent virus, second national lockdown, which starts today, lack of Brexit deal and lacklustre inflation expectations, all impacting the UK's growth profile. Expectations are of a double-dip recession this year. Bank of England talking this morning, saying they expect the UK economy to contract by 11% during the course of this year and a contraction in the fourth quarter, followed by a softer recovery as you look through 2021. So pressure has certainly been building on the Bank of England. Remember, the MPC has already cut rates to a record low of 0.1%. Before this morning, they had an unprecedented £745 billion bond buying programme in place. That's not been enough to reflate the economy or stimulate the growth that was required. They've reacted to that today. They've increased the bond buying target by a larger than expected number, taking it to £875 billion. If the UK's growth profile deteriorates further as anticipated, then we can expect them, I think, to cut the base rate to zero, lower capital requirements for the banks, cut the term funding rate to boost lending to small and medium-sized enterprises. Negative interest rates is still that nuclear option when it comes to policy from the Bank of England. I think we'd need to see further deterioration of the UK's growth profile in order for that to come into play, given the broad range of unintended consequences that follows negative interest. interest rates.
So you were down at Waitrose yesterday getting the Dom Pom and the Monte Cristos in, were you, for another round of lockdown?
It was absolutely packed. Waitrose is staying open, fortunately enough. I mean, there's sort of this debate taking place about what should be open and what shouldn't be open. Hardware stores are open, but home goods you can't buy, and children's food, I don't think, is a necessity. There's a whole debate around this sort of taking place, but the reality is, effectively, non-essential shops will close today. Bars, restaurants, of course, will close today. Not so important for me, but the hair salons will also be closed today.
That's definitely not important for you.
So certainly impacting society. We know this lasts at least for 4 weeks. I'm suggesting it could be longer, and another big hit, as I say, to the UK economy.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 129.5 this morning. What for Brexit news to move that in the next few days? Euro dollar coming in at 117. Can you get €1.10 for your British pound this morning?
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potts and Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
Following the knife attack in Nice on October the 29th at the Notre Dame Church, a national tribute is to take place at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday the 7th of November at the Collines du Château in Nice. Prime Minister Jean Castex is expected to attend, along with the Mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, and other local officials. The Mayor has said that the tribute will be in the memory of Nadine, Simone and Vincent, the victims of the attack, as well as the emergency services that intervened. Meanwhile, a 17-year-old boy has been placed in police custody as part of the investigation into the knife attack. The young man was arrested in Saint-Denis in the Paris region on Wednesday. He's suspected of having been in contact with the perpetrator. Four others remain in police custody as part of the investigation. However, a 29-year-old Tunisian arrested on Saturday, the 31st of October, has since been released. Police have appealed following the disappearance of a 17-year-old high school girl in Saint-Maximin. 17-year-old Lucy was reportedly dropped off on Wednesday, the 4th of November, at 7 a.m. at a bus stop in Saint-Maximin on her way to school, but failed to turn up at her high school, the Lycée Saint-Jean d'Arc in Brignoles. Anyone who has any information that could help with the investigation is asked to call the police on 0494 780012. Prosecutors in Marseille have announced that the town hall social landlord, known as Marseille Habitat, is being charged with manslaughter in connection with the collapse of buildings in the old town of Marseille 2 years ago. The organisation was the owner of one of the two buildings which collapsed on the Rue d'Aubagne. A tribute will be held today on the second anniversary of the collapse and is expected to include 8 minutes silence and 1 minute for each of the eight people who lost their lives. For the first time since April, the number of new COVID-19 patients admitted to intensive care in France has exceeded the 500 mark on Wednesday. France's hospitals recorded 385 new coronavirus-related deaths within 24 hours. This is a slight decline compared to the reports of more than 400 deaths on Monday and Tuesday. The number of people in intensive care beds stands at 4,089. A defence council chaired by French President Emmanuel Macron debated on Wednesday a possible tightening of measures to fight against the progression of the epidemic. The decisions taken could be announced today during the weekly press briefing by the Minister of Health, Olivier Véran. According to the regional health agency, the incidence rate continues to increase in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, as the agency warns that the situation looks set to deteriorate in terms of hospitalisations and deaths in the coming weeks. Nice counted 259 hospitalisations for COVID-19 on Wednesday and 59 in intensive care. In the PACA region, 260 people died in hospital last week. 1,770 people have died in hospital in the PACA region since the start of the epidemic. The intensive care occupancy rate for the region stands at 90%, and figures show that in 2 months, the number of people admitted to hospital has more than tripled. The regional health agency in Brittany, meanwhile, has said that it has received 20 patients from the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur and the Occitanie regions since the 27th of October. In the PACA region, patients have been transferred from hospitals in Avignon and Aix-en-Provence. The agency said that the current availability of intensive care in Brittany makes it possible to provide the reception of patients within the framework of national solidarity between regions. And meanwhile, in Monaco, 15 new cases of COVID-19 were declared in the principality amongst residents on Wednesday. The total number of residents affected by COVID-19 in Monaco now stands at 412. 13 people are currently in hospital and 103 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. In response to the latest figures, the mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has called for stricter measures concerning the current lockdown. Estrosi said that this is essential for the proper functioning and survival of our health system. The mayor said that we are in what is called a semi-lockdown, with people continuing to walk in public spaces where he said the virus is circulating. The mayor said that if within 8 days the incidence and occupancy rates of intensive care beds does not come down, he recommends a stricter lockdown in order to give the economy recovery a chance in December and for the holiday season. Professor Didier Raoult has filed an appeal before the Council of State to challenge the decision of the Medicines Agency to not widely authorise the prescription of hydroxychloroquine against COVID-19. On October the 23rd, the Medicines Agency, the ANSM, refused to issue a temporary recommendation for use, which would have allowed a more extensive distribution of the drug, of which the effectiveness against the coronavirus is still disputed. Hydroxychloroquine is marketed in France by the Sanofi laboratory under the name of Plaquenil. It is also used for other diseases such as rheumatism or lupus. In a video post on Wednesday, Professor Raoult, the head of the University Hospital in Marseille, said that he had decided to attack the director of the ANSM because he is playing a game that is dangerous for the health of the French. France's Minister of the Economy, Bruno Le Maire, has criticised the major real estate companies in France, which are refusing to grant rent reductions to their professional tenants during the lockdown. Speaking to the National Assembly on Wednesday, Le Maire said he was planning to meet with them and make them take on their responsibilities and to act out of solidarity in the face of the current health crisis. Meanwhile, faced with a second wave of COVID-19 in France and a return to lockdown, the government has presented a new revised draft budget for 2020 to the Council of Ministers on Wednesday in order to release an additional 20 billion euros to support the economy. This is the fourth since the start of the health crisis. The gross domestic product should therefore finally contract by 11% this year, against 10% according to the previous forecast in September. As the French government calls for support for small businesses during the period of the pandemic, France's Secretary of State for Digital, Cédric O, has questioned the criticisms against Amazon. Speaking at the National Assembly, Cédric O said that the priority is not to fight against the American e-commerce giant, but to digitalise small businesses in France. Finally, the Burger King fast food chain is calling on the French to help all restaurants, including its competitors McDonald's. The message of solidarity relayed on social networks contrasts with the mockery of Burger King against McDonald's, in particular on the size of the Big Mac. A spokesperson for the fast food giant said, "We wanted to put our brand at the service of the entire sector because in the end, everyone is going through complicated times and fighting to save jobs."
Riviera Radio, sports news.
What's an enormous whopper? I haven't had a Burger King for God knows how long, have you?
I've never had a Burger King.
You've never had a Burger King?
No.
I used to have a Burger King at Waterloo Station every time I went through it, which wasn't very often, so I wasn't sort of being gluttonous or anything. Football pressure is growing on the Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his side were beaten 2-1 at Istanbul in the European Champions League last night. Chelsea were 3-0 winners over Rennes of France. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United suffered a bad defeat in their latest UEFA Champions League group game. They were beaten 2-1 away in Turkey by Istanbul Başakşehir, and our senior football reporter Ian Dennis was watching.
An awful result and performance from Manchester United, but the defending, or lack of it, for the first goal was abysmal. Özcan's long ball from his own penalty area found Demba Ba on the halfway line with no one around him. AWOL, the United defence, and Ba went on to score. The defending wasn't much better for the second goal. Turuc outmuscled Mata, which eventually led to Vistia with a fierce finish after 40 minutes. 2 minutes later, Manchester United's first shot on target, Martial's downward header, saw them reduce the arrears. The second half, United had plenty of possession, but they lacked creativity. And Istanbul, Başakşehir, fully deserved this famous win for what is a real setback for Manchester United.
Well, Chelsea remain unbeaten in their Champions League group stage campaign. 3-0 winners at home to the French team Rennes. Here's Alistair Bruce-Ball with more details.
Thoroughly professional performance from Chelsea. Frank Lampard will be happy with that. You have to say they got a little bit lucky in that Dalbert was given a yellow card for each penalty he conceded. We don't think he should have got one for either challenge. Werner stuck both penalties away. Tammy Abraham got the third.
And the Crystal Palace defender Mamadou Sakho has accepted substantial damages from the World Anti-Doping Agency over allegations he took banned performance-enhancing drugs. Sakho was briefly suspended in 2016 when he was a Liverpool player after testing positive for a fat-burning substance. UEFA cleared him when it was found that it wasn't banned by WADA. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Wish I could get hold of a fat-burning substance. There are more Europa League games tonight. Spurs away Ludogorets, Razgrad in Group J. Arsenal at home to Mold in Group B. Leicester host Sporting Braga in Group G. Nice visits Slavia Prague in Group C. Rangers away at Benfica in Group D. And Celtic host Sparta Prague in Group H. In the English Championship last night, Reading lost 3-0 at home to Preston. Watford beat Stoke 3-2. Wickham were 2-1 winners at Birmingham. Derby lost 1-0 at home to QPR. Nottingham Forest beat Coventry 2-1. And Luton were 1-0 winners at Rotherham. Rugby Union, Finn Russell and Adam Hastings have both been ruled out of Scotland's Autumn Nations Cup campaign. Russell limped off during Scotland's Six Nations game against Wales while Hastings picked up a shoulder injury. Russell should recover in time for the Six Nations, but Hastings could be out for several months. Scotland play Italy, France and Fiji this month. Tennis, Rafael Nadal has won his 1,000th ATP match with victory over Feliciano Lopez of the Paris Masters. The feat comes after Nadal won his 20th Grand Slam title last month, but he still has a way to go if he wants to break the all-time record for ATP wins with Jimmy Connors out in front with 1,274 victories on the tour. And in cycling, Tim Wellens of Belgium has won Stage 4 scene of the Vuelta España, his second victory in this year's race. Wellens pit Michael Woods to the line at the end of the 247-kilometre ride to Orense. Primo Roglic retains the overall race lead with a 39-second advantage over Richard Carapaz.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outmarine Sea in the VAR, the general situation is high pressure, 1,027 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,024 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Should be a lovely day today. Clear skies, light variable winds, top temperatures 19 or 20 degrees. Overnight lows 12 degrees with clear skies. Friday and the start of the weekend fine tomorrow with a high of 19, cloudy with rain on Saturday and a high of 18 degrees. Finally.
I got chills, they're multiplying. Apparently listening to the music you love can give you shivers and send your brain into pleasure overload. Researchers from France found that listening to the music you love can indeed give you chills. The team found areas of the brain responsible for emotion, movement and sound processing together creates a rush of pleasure. The reason people get so much pleasure from music is likely because our brains are anticipating what comes next in the song. According to the experts, around half of people get chills when listening to music.
Do you? I do. I certainly do. When I get a song I really like, sends a shiver up your spine, doesn't it?